This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My special guest tonight on Bent Notes is an entertainer and a photographer too, who, in essence, started his musical journey at the very early age of 11 years, when he decided that music was for him. Let's find out why and what he's doing now, as I bid a very warm welcome to Kane Alexander.
Hi, David.
What a fun piece that was.
Gosh, that was really lovely hearing that again after so long, I must say.
Now, I just have to check that you aren't in the back of the studio on this phone at the moment, are you?
No.
No. Oh, good to hear. Kane, 11 years of age. That was very early to have your mind set on a career choice. What was it that made you so positive at that age?
I think probably like so many, particularly in the arts, I think you feel it drawing to it really early. For me, it was just listening to the music. I grew up on a farm, so I didn't have a lot of exposure to music other than through the recorded music that my grandmother had, and I discovered her record collection. And I just remember listening to all these incredible artists and lots of different musical styles, from Mario Lanza through to Ella Fitzgerald, really amazing jazz artists. And so, yeah, I think for me at that time, knowing the impact that had on me, I think I realized that I needed to make music. So that was the beginning of it all.
To me, it's just amazing that at 11 years of age, your grandmother's record collection, and I've heard a lot of people that I've spoken to say that it was from a record collection of either their parents or their grandparents, that they've been given this love of music from such an early age. And I suppose part of that is that when you're so young, it actually does all seep in, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And I think, you know, you grow up, whatever era you're born in, you grow up listening to the music of the day. And for me, whilst I love that, it wasn't until I heard the music from generations past that I realised that it really spoke to me and had such an impact on me. So in some ways, I guess I felt like I was born in the wrong era. You know, I should have been born back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, when all of these great songs were being written. Musical styles were changing, you know, so much. It was such an exciting period for music. So, yeah, for me, listening to those songs and discovering them in a way, at around 11 years old, it was like an awakening, I guess, in a way.
And how did you serve that awakening? What was your next move from that point in time to actually get yourself on track?
Well, you know, I grew up on a wheat sheep farm, and it was very isolated. I think the nearest town had a population of just 30 people, so there was no live music to listen to. So I think it was a bit of a dream, you know, at that time. I don't think, I guess I always... So, you know what it's like when you're a kid, the sky's the limit, you know.
Oh, exactly.
You can do anything, right? I thought that I was going to have this career in music. And I think, you know, looking back on it, it was probably, you know, a bit of a pipe dream in a way. But as the years went by, when you want it bad enough, you find opportunities. Went on to find those opportunities and to make the music that I wanted to make.
Were you able to do something about that music in your secondary college years?
Yeah, I was. I was in, I think it was about midway through high school, and in very much a sports-dominated high school, and I was learning music and I loved opera. So I decided I wanted to try and audition for the Victorian College of the Arts secondary school. I was accepted and came down to boarding school here in Melbourne and studied opera, which was amazing. So, yeah, for the last 3 years of my secondary education, I studied music as well at the same time.
What a great opportunity.
Yeah, it was. It really was. It was amazing. But I guess as a, you know, I think I was 15 when I moved down here to study opera, and much too young to be performing opera, which I discovered when I finished the school. So I went into musical theatre because, you know, it was a way that I could be performing and I guess keep training, and my voice was still changing. And that's when I really developed a love for musical theatre and Broadway.
Did you maintain the opera perspective that maybe you get there one day?
Yeah, I kept studying through that period because I loved opera and I loved the sound and I loved Mario Lanza, and I think that goes back to, you know, my grandmother's record collection as well. But during that period, performing in musical theatre, particularly doing when I did Les Miserables, I thought to myself, wow, you know, this is really exciting. And I think I kind of let the opera thing go. And I started to then sing a bit of, I started to branch out into jazz and a bit of pop over that period of time as well. All using your voice in very different ways for these different styles.
You
and
also,
I wanted to be diverse, you know.
I suppose if you're a little bit diverse in what you can do, then you've got much more career opportunities, haven't you?
Yeah, I think so. And also, yeah, I didn't want to be just singing the one style. As much as I loved opera, I wanted to be able to branch out and sing different styles as well, because every new style brings its own challenges and opportunities, I think.
You also have done a bit of acting. I do wonder in my mind, is there a correlation between acting and singing or entertaining? Is the training that you've done as an actor helping you in your singing career?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, this is something that I learned when I went to New York. I think up until that point, it was all about the voice for me and making the sound. And then I went to New York and got to see some incredible artists. And at that time, I realized that when you have, well, basically all performers are storytellers. You know, if you're going to be up there singing a song, I think you need to be able to feel what you're singing. You need to be telling the story and serving the lyric rather than just singing the note. So it was a great education for me just to be able to go into the clubs, the jazz clubs and cabaret rooms, and see these incredible storytellers, you know, bring the lyrics to life. Up until then, I think it was, I used to always think it was kind of always about bringing the music to life. But when you're able to bring the music to life and the story to life, I think that's where the magic sits. So that's what I've always tried to do in my songs.
You certainly have a nice list of favourite composers: George Gershwin, Harold Arlen, Johnny Mercer. They're the songs that you love, and they're the songs that you obviously heard people singing over in New York who have been actually able to act them out for you and give them full meaning.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, these composers, they brought, you know, to us the most incredible catalogue of music, you know, which has now become known as the Great American Songbook. And there are so many incredible songs, some that are really well known and some that aren't as well known but are still incredible. So, yeah, I got to hear all of those songs. You know, I already knew a lot of them. And, in fact, that's what my upcoming concert is going to be about, basically bringing these songs to life in a different way and letting the lyrics and the music live on.
In a sense, acting the songs out so that the lyrics are not just words that someone's basically speaking in the background, but giving them front of house.
Yeah, I think I always try to do that. You know, there are some songs that are so well known, you know, songs that we've heard so many times that we almost become immune to the lyric, I think, sometimes, because we know it so well. What I love is when you hear a song that you know really well, but it's almost like you're hearing it for the first time, because the lyrics are jumping out and meaning something different to what you imagined. You're sort of rediscovering a song, and that's what I really, really love. I try to find ways to find new things in lyrics and breathe a sort of a new life into these songs that are so famous and that have been done so many times. I think that's the challenge as a performer, and it also can be really exciting when you go and see an artist and they bring something new to a song. That's what we're looking for.
And the concert you're talking about is the Pavilion at the Arts Centre Melbourne, midday on Sunday, November 3, in what's been called High Tea Live. High Tea with Jazzy Entertainment. How do you go about selecting a song list for something such as a High Tea Live, where you're on stage for, what is it, about an hour and a half, 2 hours?
Yeah, it's a really great concept that the Arts Centre are doing this series. You know, it's lovely. You know, it's a great way to spend a Sunday afternoon with some bubbles, high tea, and some jazz. And we've got a trio coming in. We're going to be doing some great songs from the American Songbook. And for me, choosing the repertoire, I think it was the hard thing was sort of working out what to leave out.
I'm sure it would be.
I mean, so many great songs. So we're going to have a bit of a play and, yeah, just try and put our spin on a few of these songs. I think it'll be a really lovely way to spend a Sunday afternoon.
It will indeed. Sitting back enjoying something to snack on while there's this magnificent music coming from stage.
Oh, there'll be plenty to snack on. they've got lots of tiered high tea treats. I think it'll be a very sweet afternoon, I would say.
And I reckon,
so I hope they take some for me after the show.
And I reckon the American Songbook is a great accompaniment to that.
Yeah, I think it'll be awesome. some great musicians, and yeah, there'll be some beautiful songs and a lot of really well-known songs as well. So I think it'll be a bit of a toe-tapper.
So an opportunity to hear some of our favourites and maybe a few different ones as well that will become our future favourites, as no doubt they have for you.
So. Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, and like I said, I hope that even some of their songs that are really well-known, you might hear something new in it. That'll be certainly our aim.
Well, it sounds like a great entertaining afternoon at the Pavilion at the Arts Centre Melbourne, Sunday, November 3, 2019. That's this year. It's only in about a month's time, starting at midday. More details and tickets from artscentremelbourne.com.au. Thank you again, Kane. It has been a real pleasure chatting you tonight. I look forward to hearing and seeing more from Kane Alexander.
Thanks, David.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.